Doug Deacon is part of the Browns Radio Network, former Browns offensive lineman, and he joins us as he regularly does on this show. Doug, how you doing?
Doing good.
All right. On the Revel Wireless Hotline. Doug, I thought it was interesting the other night. Brandon Whedon at the IX Center did what I wanted to see him do, hear him do. I know it's not a surprise, it shouldn't be, that a player says, hey, it's my job that I want to keep, that I intend to keep, that no one's going to beat me out for this, to show confidence. We want to see that. But I thought it was particularly important for a guy who generally didn't come off as the most fiery of personalities this past season as a rookie.
Well, I think anytime, you know, you come in as a rookie, you're feeling your way around, and, you know, you got a bunch of new teammates that you got to have buy into, you know, what you're doing. And, you know, the best way to have them buy into what you're doing is have success on the playing field. And, you know, last year they had a lot of rookies on the offensive side of the ball, especially at the skilled positions. And I think, you know, just to put all the lack of production on the quarterback is a tough thing. But, you know, now he's been challenged by the organization as regards to whether or not he's going to be the guy, or, you know, do they need to look elsewhere in the draft. And, you know, it's how you respond to those challenges. And I think, you know, as a competitor, he responded the way that you wanted him to respond, and that is say, hey, you know, I'm here to win the job.
I like how you put that, too. Challenged by the organization, because that's really what this is about. I think hearing it enough times from certainly Joe Banner, from Jimmy Haslam, from Rob Chudzinski, that nothing's locked, that nothing's handed to this guy. And I think part of it is as much that, right, is as much making sure he knows that there is no sort of free ride here, that just because you were the starter and just because you were a first-round pick last year doesn't mean we think you're the guy. You've got to show us you're the guy.
Yeah, you have to earn your stripes. And I think, you know, the way you do it is, you know, what you do on the field. And, you know, I think sometimes, you know, you sit there and you're drafted in the first round, and, okay, you know, I'm good. I'm a first-round draft pick. Well, you know, you got to take that selection and, you know, take it over to the playing field and show that, you know, the reason that you were. And, you know, once again, you know, I think, you know, Brandon, you know, with a new offense and not really having a lot of experience playing under center, you know, more of a guy in the shotgun, you know, he had some struggles. And, you know, sometimes when you're going backwards and trying to read a defense, it makes it a little tougher. And I think, you know, there were a lot of things that he learned. And I think the thing that you do is you put that in your memory bank. And when you go to the off season, you say, you know, those are the things I've got to improve on. And the way you do it is get in there, watch some film. And, I mean, it's not just Brandon Whedon. I think they're challenging. I think, you know, Josh Gordon, you know, you read the remarks about Josh. And, yeah, we thought he, you know, he was pretty special as a rookie last year. But, you know, they're trying to, you know, kick him in the pants to say, hey, you know, we want you to take it up another notch.
Absolutely. You heard what Joe Banner said about him over the weekend in Indianapolis, to the extent that it was very similar to Brandon Whedon. Can you make that big jump from year one to year two that you expect guys to make? He showed some things, but he's got to show more. And I think that's a fair way to go about it, you know, with everybody. But here's the other thing I'm wondering, and especially with Whedon. Don't you think, Doug, he looks at this offense. He knows the history by now. He's either read about it or heard about it with what Rob Chudzinski did with Derek Anderson back in 2007 here, with North Turner and all the success he's had with quarterbacks. And he knows what he didn't get a particularly good glimpse of it when the Chargers played here this past season necessarily because of the weather. But in general, he knows what that downfield attack looks like that Turner ran in San Diego and other places. And doesn't he have to be excited about that?
Yeah, I would think so. I think the offense really kind of fits, you know, his physical skills. And his skills is, you know, one of the things is his arm and his getting the ball down the field. You know, and that all will be helped by the fact that, you know, you'll have a healthy Trent Richardson going in, and that'll take some of the pressure off the quarterback position. But still, you know, the fact that you got a strong arm, you know, in our stadium, you've got to show that you got a strong arm that you can be accurate in that wind, because you're always going to have the elements there that's going to provide you a different challenge besides the opponent.
And the bottom line here with Whedon especially, again, is, and it's true with Gordon, it's true with pretty much everybody who's on this roster and has a chance and likelihood to stay on this team into the 2013 season, that they should feel the challenge, respond to the challenge, they should feel that this is something they that they should embrace, that they should look at as, okay, I'm starting over again. I had to impress a different set of people a year ago. This is a new set of folks that are paying attention to me, and I've got to, as you use that term, earn your stripes back. That, you know, and however they do it, I mean, I think it's got to start with when these off-season workouts begin in April, the early part of April, how attentive they are in the meeting rooms, and then when they get on the field, you know, just showing these coaches that there is no entitlement here and that they can't afford to feel entitled.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got to get into the meat and the potatoes. I mean, when you get to your off-season training camps, and I think, you know, as a new coach, Chud will get an extra one, but, you know, not only just what you do out there in the field, how you get your nose into the playbook so that it just, you know, the thought process is one that it's a reaction rather than thinking, and when you start reacting, I think, you know, you find that the execution is much better because the ball comes out quicker, and the ability to know where people are going to be. You know, you're throwing the ball and the guy's not coming out of his cut, then all of a sudden the lights kind of go on because that's when you start making plays.
Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and some quarterback movement news that does impact the Browns, at least to some degree, because there had been speculation that Alex Smith could have maybe ended up here from San Francisco with the obvious connection with North Turner when he was a coordinator there and had success there with Alex Smith, but he is now going to be with the Kansas City Chiefs, that deal being made, and but not official, I guess, until March 12th, the beginning of free agency. But when I looked at Alex Smith, I really wasn't sure, just his style of quarterbacking, if I saw a guy that fit this team really well, the downfield throwing, the fact that he's going to be – I don't know how well he's going to fit in Kansas City, because he's going to be asked to throw a lot there by Andy Reid, by the way, but maybe in shorter throws. This offense is drop back, let longer patterns develop, as I understand it, with Rob Chudzinski, North Turner. And I don't know that he, even though they worked well together before, Smith and Turner, I didn't see that maybe being such a great fit here, but a lot of people thought that, you know, that might have been.
Well, I think the thing you look at is, you know, his success a couple years ago with the 49ers was the fact, you know, when Jim Harbaugh came in, you know, he brought in a tough physical style of offense, and, you know, it was a combination of a lot of different formations and motions and, you know, the utilization of just about everybody. And I think, you know, if you even go into the Super Bowl, you're looking at the two teams that were, you know, in the Super Bowl, both of them were big physical football teams. And the way they played the game was, you know, both of them, you know, used the run to set up the pass. And in doing so, you know, it made things life a little easier for the quarterback. And I think, you know, Alex Smith had a good year a couple of years ago, and he was having a decent year this year until he got hurt. And then when they put Kaepernick in, you know, they weren't going to take him back because of the different type of elements that he brings to an offense. But with that said, we're yet to see one of those quarterbacks, you know, really, you know, win a Super Bowl other than maybe Steve Young many years ago.
And now that you look at what is left in the quarterback market, and again, we can, I think, safely presume, and we've talked about this before, that Joe Flacco is not going anywhere outside of Baltimore. So who else really commands any real attention in the quarterback market? I think the big quarterback move has been made, right? And everything else is just sort of everything else. Matt Moore's name comes up from Miami. What goes on with Matt Flynn, perhaps from Seattle? But as you really break it down, the options are limited. And then the other option, of course, is the draft. And as we sit here right now, no one from that combine has any reason to be excited based on what those guys not only showed there, but there wasn't a lot of excitement heading into the combine about the quarterback class of 2013.
No. Last year's, you know, quarterback class was one of the, you know, probably the stronger we've had since what, back in 83 when Marino and all those guys came out. But
right.
You know, this is a situation where, yeah, you don't force a pick just because you think you want to get some security there. You know, when you're drafting as high as six, you know, you want somebody that's going to, you know, you're going to plug in. He's going to be a Pro Bowl player, you know, within a year or two, and away you go. I mean, you know, you look at the Joe Thomas, you know, that's what you want. You want a guy that, you know, the first 6 years in the league ends up with six Pro Bowls. And, you know, you're not always going to get that, but you want somebody that's going to be at least on the the edge of trying to become a pro, or the possibility of being a Pro Bowl player the next year. And I think, you know, right now there are some holes on the team, especially when you change to a 3-4 and you need the pass rusher. So that's one thing you got to, you know, definitely look at. And, you know, the other thing that helps the pass rush is good coverage, and, you know, there's a need for a cornerback opposite of Joe Haden.
Yeah, and I can still, can't you, Doug, I can still see this team drafting a quarterback somewhere down the line. I think there's at least one, and if not two, quarterbacks that aren't on this roster now that'll be here, and they're not necessarily going to be guys that are targeted to be starters, because I do think Brandon Whedon has the edge on that as long as he follows through and does his part to respond. But as far as the rest of the quarterback depth makeup, it's gonna have a couple of different faces on it, I think.
I think so too, and I think, you know, when you look at it, you know, you try to get a quarterback that matches your offense, and, you know, it's a strong-armed kind of offense because you're going to be throwing the ball down the field. And the other thing is, you know, we've all often talked about getting a veteran wide receiver. Well, you know, that veteran wide receiver is, you got to get the right kind of guy. You got to get the guy that's willing to, you know, help everybody else that's in the young receiving core rather than the prima donna diva that, you know, so many of these, you know, receivers seem to be after a year or two in the league. You want the guy, you know, that's I look at the Keenan McCardle, who was here, you know, who went on to have a very successful career,
right?
But he became a guy that, you know, he was going to help the other receivers. You know, I remember when Chris Palmer first came here, I think he wanted to get Sean Jefferson, and they never did end up getting him. But if you look, I think all of a sudden Sean Jefferson is a coach in this league. The reason why is because, you know, the kind of a team player he was.
Right, right. No, that's a great, great comparison. Doug, with free agency coming up March 12th, and it brings to mind something that Joe Banner talked about again this past weekend in Indianapolis, and Rob Chudzinski talked about it the day before. He actually started with Chud saying the type of player the Browns want, that profile guy. And this would apply, too, to drafting, but the first step is going to be free agency. A guy who wants to be with the Browns, wants to play for this team, and identifying that guy, and it's not just in free agency a guy who wants a payday or a guy that just is looking for his next option, or in the draft a guy just wanting to get into the NFL, but who really wants to be here. And talking with you as a former member of this team, you know, I it seems that there's the challenge is obvious now to sell what you can't sell. You can't sell that this is a winning team or that it has the prospect of being a contending team soon. So what are you selling? You're selling, as Joe Banner mentioned, the owner that is a tone changer with Jimmy Haslam here first, and then the coaching staff with Rob Chudzinski, North Turner, and Ray Horton, and down the line where you feel that there's really good leaders, and Turner and Horton are really among the stars of the coaching market right now. They come in as the elite, you know, two of the elite guys that were available, and the Browns have both of them. So is that enough to, you think, sell a guy on the fact that playing in Cleveland is where you're going to want to be?
Well, I think what you know, a player has to look at, and there's, you know, different types of players. There's, you know, the player that's down on the last few years, and he's just looking to find a team that's going to pay him well, and you maybe get a chance to get to the Super Bowl. Or you got the young guy that's, you know, back up someplace, and he's stuck behind a good ball player, but, you know, he still has the skill sets to be a starter in this league, and he wants to come. And as we all know, you know, in free agency, a lot of times you end up overpaying, you know, for players that, because, you know, all of a sudden you go and you try to get that guy. And, you know, you look at Mario Williams in Buffalo.
Yeah.
You know, he was that guy last year, but you look at the numbers that he had, and they didn't justify, you know, being that guy, because between being hurt and, you know, Justin there, he struggled a little bit. And I think, you know, when you get somebody in free agency, you want to get somebody, if you're going to pay the price, that's going to be able to step in. And I think, you know, if a player looked at, you know, the nucleus of this football team, there are some good young players on this team, and there's an offensive line that you can build your offense around. You've got the running back. The unknowns are, you know, the quarterback, and, you know, how these young wide receivers are going to develop. So I think, you know, there are ways you can, you know, patch up your offense and your defense through free agency, but you know that's, you know, as Jimmy Haslam said, you know, we want to build this team through the draft, and, you know, that's your main way to get the talent here. But with that said, if you, you know, without a second round draft pick this year, you're going to have to, you know, plug in somebody out of free agency probably to take the place of what that second round draft pick might have done for your football team.
Right. Well, Doug, wonderful. Enjoy talking with you always, and we will do this again next week, my friend.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. He is Doug Deacon joining us from the Browns Radio Network right here on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up for you on ESPN 850 WKNR.